Welcome to episode 2 of the Mommy Beta podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you listened last week and we hope you are returning this week. This is a brand new podcast where the four Mommy Beta writers from mommybeta.com get together and discuss what motherhood has been like, particularly new motherhood. So on the line today, we have myself. I'm Natalie Morris. We also have Natalie Gafori. Hopefully the two Natalies don't get you confused. Alex Aronoff and Jennifer Nichols Parnell. Actually, Jennifer, I don't think I ever got the full memo. What are we calling you again?
Jennifer Nichols Parnell works. Cut along. You can call me Jennifer. Just call me Jennifer. I'm the only Jennifer on the call. So.
Okay, Jennifer it is. And we used to call her J-Lo. Why did we ever do that? We called you J-Lo. We still do.
I think my husband gave her that nickname because she had kind of like the anti of a J-Lo butt. She was like...
Thank you for that.
She's been doing
it definitely helped during pregnancy.
She's working on it. But it used to be kind of the anti-J-Lo butt. So it's kind of a, you know, facetious name.
Oh. Such a great compliment.
Yeah, pregnancy gives us a much better J-Lo than we ever had before.
Yeah. So it was nice I didn't have much there to begin with because then I had, a lot of room to work with.
Well, one of the topics we're writing about this week actually has to do with our figures. And so we're going to start off talking about some of the things we've been writing off. And Natalie, you want to kick us off with the weaning weight blog?
Yes. I just think this whole pregnancy, nursing, weight gain is just it's a big trick by nature saying, okay, you can be giant and then you can lose all this weight because you're nursing and your baby's taking all these calories from you and you're starting to feel like a normal person again. And then for me at least, it was, when he weaned himself at about 11 and a half months, I had this thought, oh my gosh, am I going to gain all this weight because I'm still eating like a horse and he's not taking all those calories from me anymore. And it kind of happened. It hasn't been dramatic, but it's been a few pounds and, a few pounds over time, if that keeps happening, can really add up. So I'm trying to nip it in the bud. But it's just one of those things where it's just, it's like, come on, let me have my body back the way I want it, at least for a while until maybe we start thinking about having another baby. So, I'm actually using this thing. It's called a Fitbit. Alex was able to hook me up with one. Her friend is one of their PR people. And it's this little electronic thing that I wear on the waistband of my pants, or you can wear it on your bra, and it keeps track of how many steps you take and how many calories you burn. And there's also a web component where you can put in how many calories you're eating. I haven't started using that yet because I'm not going super hardcore yet, but I may need to. But I'm going to write more about that later. But I'm just using it kind of be conscious of how much activity I'm doing. But another cool technical thing that I have actually reviewed in the last couple of weeks is the Nook Color. And I never thought I wanted an e-reader. A Kindle never appealed to me. I really like a hard copy book, but when we baby-proofed the house, we had to move all of our bookshelves out practically, and I don't have anywhere to put hard copy books anymore. So I thought, okay, maybe an e-reader is something I should consider. So Nat gave me the opportunity to test one from Barnes & Noble, and I love it. It's like half e-reader, half iPad. It's smaller than an iPad, but it's very sturdy and has lots of great colors and features, and I just am really, really excited about having tested it.
Actually, at CNET, when we first got the Nook Color in, we called it the poor man's iPad because it can do so much more than an e-reader, but it's not quite an iPad where you're doing multi-touch kind of, fancy things, but it does a lot. It's a really great device.
Yeah, it seems really cool. My husband has an e-reader, and I've been eyeing his for some time, but after reading your review, Nat, it seems like this might be the better route to go to top what he currently has.
Do we
know the price difference? He does have a Kindle, and I love the fact that it's just so easy to navigate through the daily news. You don't have to be on the bus with, 15 different papers and news magazines, or worry about, I forgot the book at home, or it's not going to fit in my bag, and I'm addicted to this word game on there. and now the name is escaping me. But I used to sit up in Hawaii when we went on our first baby vacation and play that game for hours while nursing. He's like, are you going to come out by the pool? I'm like, I'm enjoying your new candle. So I was excited to see what the Nook had to offer.
And that's how much is the Kindle?
Well, the Kindle is now there's a ad supported version that's like $119 or something like that, and you can get for just a little bit more. I think it's $149 is the Wi-Fi only version. And the Kindle, the good thing about that is it works in the sun because it's e-ink. So you could have played that word game by the pool. The Nook Color is $249, and then if you're going all the way and you're going iPad, that's up in the high 400s. So it really does sit in between the Kindle and the iPad really nicely. So
does the Nook have a glare at all? Does it non-glare too?
You know what? I didn't try using it in the sun, and I should have.
It depends on the application that you're using, because now it can run Android apps. So if you play that game that Natalie has a video of her son using, then that's going to have some glare. But if you're using just as an e-reader with just e-ink books, there won't be glare. It'll just have the resolution of a page.
So, and I wonder which one is the most baby friendly, because Reese puts everything in her mouth.
Yeah, you know, they all kind of, they're not really meant to be dropped, although you can get cases that you can protect them with. But it's really funny because I have an iPad and Miles loves it. And he understands swiping to get to things that he wants. He can scroll through the games in order to get the animal that he wants. He can play the piano. So it's really amazing how it's so innate.
He can find baby Beth.
He can find videos of hot little baby girls. Which is something that I wrote about on Mommy Beta. You have to go through some precautions to make sure that it's safe for them, and well, mostly safe for the gadget, because the babies are going to throw them and try and get them in their mouths, and he likes to kind of wrestle it away from me in order to get it towards his mouth. So, but I guess
we could offer up our babies as little testers of the new equipment that comes out to make sure it's not easy to break.
Yeah, that's true. I also had some thoughts about your weaning weight. You know, I've thought about that a lot. And as I was reading your post, I wondered, what if I just kept pumping until he was 20 years old? Even if he wasn't drinking breast milk, would I still be able to keep my weight down?
Well, that's dedication. A lot of work.
I just don't want to gain the weight. Is that ridiculous?
I guess you could, because, I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about, you could still drink. You could, you know, you wouldn't have to be careful about what you're putting in your body like you are when you're nursing, because nobody's taking the milk. So I guess.
Right, but a simple night out, you'd have to carry your pump and you couldn't just stay out.
Yeah. That's true.
Go for a long.
But then I could sell my breast milk on the internet. Women do that. You can
That's
just
true.
Keep taking care of your body.
You can sell it
weight, and
for ice cream.
Money. I could just be a dairy. I could just be a one woman dairy.
Kind of like a cow, but you're not a cow.
Basically. Why not? I mean, I'm still losing weight by nursing, and it's awesome. So what if I, you know, even if he doesn't want my milk anymore, I just keep pumping.
Yeah, with the whole
I'm onto something here.
With the weaning, though, I mean, Natalie and I were talking about this offline, of course, but, you know, we have been eating so much or been trained to eat so much for so long that it takes us a little while to adjust our thinking on, oh, you know, might not want to eat this, you know, piece of chocolate, though I'm sure we weren't because it's going into our children's bodies. But, you know, just thinking more about it, because when you're breastfeeding, you're actually supposed to consume more calories, 500 calories, than you are when you're pregnant even. So you're just trained in this mindset of, oh, I need to make sure I'm getting enough. And so then by the time this whole thing happens, I'm sure it's hard to train yourself to go back.
Right. And Jennifer, you were asking this week, what are the things that I should be eating in order to keep my milk supply up? Because for me, my milk did drop a little bit at 6 months, and then I just had to kind of boost the food. And I was like, this is an awesome problem to have. And I ate more, and it really came in. Why don't you talk about some of the advice you got on our blog?
Yeah, we had a lot of really great feedback, or I did. Thank you so much. Since Beth has been, or started at least, sleeping mostly through the night without that feeding, my milk supply has dropped. And so I've been looking for ways to increase my milk supply. I've been trying to consistently take fenugreek, which is an herbal supplement that is supposed to, or it sounds like it really does work, increase your milk supply. But there are also some other really great tips that some of our followers suggested. Oatmeal, one of them, as well as a mother's milk tea, which, does this have fenugreek in it? Do you ladies know?
I think it has milk thistle or something like that in it.
Okay. So sit around and drink that instead of my morning coffee, which I'm sure is dehydrating me. So that's a really good suggestion. And Elise, let me find her name. There's this one reader who was really dedicated to making sure she always had enough. And I was thoroughly impressed with the suggestions she had to make. And basically drink tons of liquids and relax about it. I think that's another thing that many of us moms just get really nervous about, not having enough. And another reader mentioned is solid intake, because Beth has been increasing the amount of solid she's been eating, which would cause my milk supply to go down. But I still feel like she's not necessarily getting enough at that last feeding before going down to bed. So I've been having to supplement a little formula with that, which I'd prefer not to do. But, you know, I need to make sure, above all, that she's getting enough.
Yeah, I actually talked to a lactation consultant when that happened with me. It happened around 4 months that my milk supply really dwindled. And I don't know if this happened with you ladies, but I started my period about 4 months after having Reese, and my milk supply was pretty much non-existent, and I was really upset. So I did everything. I took the fenugreek. I drank lots of liquids. I was pumping 10 minutes after every breastfeeding just to, you know, trick my boobs into thinking that, you know, the baby needed more milk. And eventually it increased. And I did that again at 6 months. So it took a lot of dedication. But I don't know if you guys did you guys experience that when you started your period, if you have?
No, I didn't get my period until a long time. But I'm on Jolivet, which is the birth control that keeps your period away, and that you use that birth control while you're nursing. Yeah.
Is that the one where you have to take it at the same time every day?
Aren't all pills like that?
No, only the mini pill.
What? Which is the one that lacks the, is it the, which hormone is it that your body doesn't need?
I think it's estrogen only and not progesterone. I think the mini pill.
Right.
We're not doctors.
Yeah.
We'll look it up for the next show.
I asked my doctor about it, but I don't know what's in it. I guess if I were more responsible, I would have looked that up. But he just said, take this one while you're nursing, and then we'll switch you off when you stop nursing. And I said, okay.
So my doctor sat me down and gave me this, you know, half hour, not lecture, but just informed me about the fact that this pill is not, it works, but you have to be very diligent about when you take it. And making sure it's within the same hour every day. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
I've heard that before.
Well, yeah, and the other lecture, and I certainly haven't been that good about it lately because we've been moving, so I can never find it at the same
time. Oh, no.
There might be a little fun in your oven. Oh, no, the rumor mill is going to start.
Don't speak it. Oh, my goodness. I'm knocking on wood.
Yeah, because
right.
My doctor
and the other. Oh, go ahead, Dad. I was going to lead into what you were, or ask you what you had opted up to go into or to use.
Yeah. My doctor actually said that she doesn't really recommend the mini pill because she sees too many failures on it, meaning too many people getting pregnant. So what she does personally, what she recommended for me was an IUD, which is an intrauterine device. So I have the Mirena, which is, it's like a little, I think it's made of copper. It's like some sort of like little metal T-shaped thing that they actually like put up in you. And it also has a little, like a very low dose of estrogen. And one of the benefits of this particular type of birth control is that it causes very light periods or kind of non-existent periods. And I actually thought that's what was kind of happening all the past, you know, year and a little bit since I've had it, that I was just getting like very light periods. But I actually just got my first one this month after he stopped weaning. So that was actually like a real period. So that was strange to me that it took this long for it to start again.
You're back in business.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Nice. Yeah, I got mine too as well, Alex. My first real one that I was definite about was about, I guess, 6 months. So really recent. So I think that definitely had an effect on my milk supply. But also something else to mention about Natalie's, what is it called again?
It's Mirena.
Mirena.
The IUD. Okay.
Yeah, so my doctor mentioned that to me as well, but she didn't recommend it for me because she said if we were trying to, we would like to conceive within the next 5 years, we shouldn't consider it because it's very costly. And I guess our insurance doesn't cover it. Or did your insurance cover it?
My insurance covered all but, I think it was like $200.
Okay.
So it wasn't. It probably over time, you know, depending on how long you would be paying a monthly copay on birth control versus, you know, the one time out of pocket for this, it would probably, I would say, even out.
Because wait, it's just one thing and you keep it for how long?
Yeah, for 5 years, up to 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then when you are ready to have another baby, you get it out. And she said, in theory, you could get pregnant that next month, but that it generally takes a couple of months to really get your cycle going again.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of birth control. Not very many, let me say, birth control options.
Yeah, there really isn't, unless you're nursing, and then you just do whatever you want, I guess. Or not nursing, right?
Yeah. Right. You can get pregnant while you're nursing.
Yes.
Yeah, although I did ask my doctor, is it true that you're more fertile while you're nursing? And he said no. He gave me this whole long explanation about how that's actually an old wives' tale.
I had always heard that there's a less of a chance to get pregnant while you're nursing. But it's still a possibility. It's not.
Yeah, that's actually what he said, was less of a chance. I think that's just an old wives' tale. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about baby sign language. Alex, you wrote about this week. What's the deal with baby sign?
I did. Well, what prompted this is that I was at the park. Reese and I were at the park, and there was this little girl. I guess she was just a little over a year and a half, and she was signing with her mom. And she spoke a few words, but she wanted to, her mom was taking her off the swing and she signed more. So it's where you put your fingers, pull your fingers together on both hands and just kind of, I can't even explain it. Anyway, this little girl was doing it. It was really cute. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, she was hungry and sorry, a little distraction. She was hungry, and so she put her left hand to her lips. That's the sign for hungry. And I thought it was fascinating that this 1.5-year-old girl was communicating with her mom. So she, you know, she took her out of the swing, gave her a piece of banana, and she said, I asked the mom how long she had been signing with her daughter, and she said she started at 7 months, but she really didn't see anything until after a year. So she had been pretty consistent with it. So it just gave me the idea to look into sign language, just the basics, to teach Reese and practice with her. So we're practicing more, hungry, sleep, hurt, milk, water, drink, so just a few of them. And at the same time, we're also practicing Spanish. I'm by no means bilingual. My parents are fluent, and I can understand Spanish, but I don't speak fluently. But again, we're practicing the basics, so we're kind of doing all three, which may be too much for her, but we'll see. I think either way, it's good practice, even if I'm just brushing up on my Spanish. So I'll let you know how it goes. Reese, we've been doing it for about a month and a half. So I'll let you know once she picks anything up, if she picks anything up.
Well, we did sign a little bit. We looked into it when he was really little, like just a few weeks old. And I bought one of those charts where it just shows you the basic things. And then we just weren't quite as consistent about it. So, and I felt like I wanted to choose either teaching him Spanish, because I am actually pretty fluent at Spanish, probably I would say about 90%. And I felt like I just didn't want to do, like, take one thing, like an apple, and say, this is an apple, and also a manzana, and then hang on, I'm going to sign it to you as well.
It's a lot of work.
It is. But I did read recently that children who are bilingual, either with sign language and English or English and Spanish, can actually think in both languages simultaneously, whereas adults have to translate. Okay, I want to say this in English, and then I'm going to translate it in Spanish. And they test higher when it comes to their tests in school, and they have a better grasp of language because they understand how to conjugate verbs, and they understand just the structure of language better. So it is. I'm teaching Miles Spanish, and he does seem to respond to things in Spanish when I tell him, like, you know, hands up or give a kiss or, you know, time to go night-night. Those are the things that,
yeah,
you know,
he my does favorite respond right now to. Is dame un beso. And she leans over and opens her mouth and gives me a big wet kiss. I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's what Miles responded to when we had our mommy beta play date. Not to dame beso. And he leaned over and gave Reese a big smooch.
He didn't need to be told twice.
Yeah. My husband is still, I don't even know the word. He was shocked. He's kind of in shock still. I'm like, Josh, they're babies. He's like, oh, I know, but she's just a little girl. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have a lot more to worry about than baby kisses. Let me tell you.
So I'm also curious too about, so Natalie Morris. So did I see correctly that Miles is saying mama and dada?
He says mama, and of course Clayton believes that it doesn't mean me. Mostly mama means it's sort of like I need help with something. It's sort of his call for distress. Like mama means pick me up or give me food or, you know, it's sort of because when he cries or something or when I go and pick him up, I'm like, come mama, or, you know, here, mama will help you. So I think he thinks it means just like get over here and tend to me. So it's just, it means sort of, I mean, I think it means something motherly, but it doesn't necessarily mean mama, but he says it. Like we were moving and I put him in the crib while the movers were taking things out. And he kept saying, a mama. And he was looking at me and that meant like, get me out of here. And the movers were saying, you know, le pide a mama. That means he's asking for his mommy. And I'm like, aww. No, but we can't. But yes, he's getting very close to that. And he also responds to things. Like I can tell him clap hands and wave bye-bye. So it's amazing. He's getting so smart to see him to respond to actually real communication. It just trips me out.
It really is amazing. And just to hear Alex, you say that you can already tell or ask Reese to give you a kiss. And she does that. That's amazing.
Yeah, they are just like little sponges right now. I think at this age, they are just taking in so much information. And I think the more you challenge them and the more you different ways you communicate, the better for them.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Dominic has like 10 words now, but none of them are mama.
Wow.
Is dada in now?
Yes, he says dada, but he does not say mama.
In relationship to Sean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That's great.
It's
Reese
really sad.
Says, "Dad," or I say, "Reese, say mama," and she goes, "Da da 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 da." It's every morning, "Da da 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 da," and she doesn't. It's not in relation to Josh, but.
But they do say just, the D's and the B's are easier for them to say than the M's and the N's. So I'm impressed that he can say mama and he means it as a word. It's just not consistently with what, you know. Anyway.
Well, Alex saying, or Beth was saying mama when she was like 8 weeks. Do you ladies remember that? She would,
yes.
Mama, mama. Yeah, obviously she didn't know what she was saying, but it still felt really sweet.
Yeah. She's very advanced.
She is. Well, we'll bring up the rear with the things that I wrote about this week. One of the things that I saw in the Daily was an article about baby psychology. And at first I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. Why can't we just let our kids be kids? And then I read through it and I realized really it's not analyzing the behavior of babies. It's analyzing the things that babies may be responding to. So I maybe have a problem with the nomenclature because I think it's more family psychology and family counseling than baby counseling. And the thing that worries me the most about this is that maybe we would be teaching our kids that we're going to overanalyze them and fix everything clinically and not let them work things out if we're taking them to therapy and calling it your therapy, because really it's children therapy. Did you guys read this article?
I did.
And that's it. I did. But go ahead, Nat.
I had a similar reaction where I was like, oh, baby, you know, psychology, you know, this doesn't seem right. And then I read through it and it was mostly about teaching parents how to interact with and respond with their children and kind of give them assurances they need. Like there was an example of a child who was basically just had a really hard time processing sensory stimulation, like on an airplane would freak out because there's just so much going on. So it was about teaching the parent how to make eye contact and soothe the child and kind of help them work through it. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think if your child has a distinct issue that you've tried to work through on your own, that you know, seems like there's something wrong beyond, you know, just a regular behavioral problem, then why not try to get some extra help? And, you know, like I've written about on the blog how I feel like there's a fine line between trying to fix everything that's potentially wrong with your baby and just kind of letting them be. But in this case, you know, I don't see the real downside in it. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I guess I'm just still having so much trouble with the culture of like get in there and fix everything with therapy and overanalyzation. And I don't want to, you know, become one of those parents who's like, oh, should I do that too then if everyone else is doing that? And, you know, there's this author called Wayne Dyer who has this book called Excuses Be Gone, and it's sort of a self-help. And he had said in one of his books that you realize when you become a parent that your children come through you. They don't come for you. They are not little versions of you. They will be their own little person, and it's our responsibility to facilitate them becoming who they're going to become. And so I felt like this article is kind of antithetical to that, where, you know, it's not allowing them to become who they're going to become. It's sort of making sure that we get in there and we fix everything. So I think that these are two very extremes. And what I want, I guess, is somewhere down the middle where I allow him to work things out and become who he's going to become, and I don't, I guess, maneuver it all the time.
Right. Is it about fixing it, or is it about figuring out how to respond to it? You know, as a parent, we are thrown in new situations, but most of us, I think, would respond emotionally and try to nurture them or make them feel better, or comfort them. So in this instance, are they just asking someone, help me, how do I respond to this? How do I make my child feel better? Because what I'm doing isn't working, you know? Not
right.
Fix it.
But. Right, which I think is parental counseling, which goodness we all need, you know. I wish that were a public service. I would go every day. Anyway.
Well, you did mention a book, Nat. Do you want me to segue into an idea we came up on our last
baby? Yes, let's talk about books.
Yes, so last week we were chatting and we were talking about teaching our children, I guess, manners, or how early do we start doing that? And the book, The Three Martini Playdate, came up. It's a practical guide to happy parenting. It's one I'm reading right now. It's a pretty quick and easy read. And it's the author, Christy Meller, takes on a humorous approach to really being able to tell your child no, I guess. On the back, she says, how did children become the center of the universe? You were here first. So it's time to write the balance and time to take charge and time to enjoy your life. So it has chapters on screaming. Is it necessary? Or bedtime? Is 5:30 too early? So it seems like it has a lot of it's packed with some interesting takes on, you know, telling your child no and how it's not going to hurt their self-esteem. And I think the girls and I are still reading, so stay tuned in our next podcast for some discussion on some things we liked about the book and maybe some things we are questioning.
So if you are wanting to read along with us, just go ahead and pick up the book and write us. You can write us on our blog. You can
tweet us at Mommy Beta. There are a lot of ways, or mb@mommybeta.com to get involved. And we'll just sort of talk about this book as we are reading it together and as it unfolds. So I have a little one that's just getting up from his nap, so I'm going to have to go soon, and we will wrap this up for everyone else. But we also want to remind you that we give away something every week. This week we're wrapping up our breast pump giveaway. This is a very expensive giveaway, so we hope you are going to the blog regularly and entering. And then what are we giving away next week, Jennifer?
So next week we're giving away some delicious Giddy snacks. They're really healthy snacks that even toddlers can enjoy, made with all natural ingredients, no preservatives. So I think a lot of you moms out there would love to get your hands on this. I know I always have my sister, who has 4-year-olds, is always looking for that healthy snack that's actually really healthy. So definitely check in and try to win a pack. I think it's a month's supply.
Okay.
Nice.
And then we'll wrap this up with on an up positive note. Does anyone have any little victories they want to share that we haven't already shared? Crickets.
Oh man, I hadn't thought about the little victories.
We should have assigned this beforehand. This is, you guys are, we're learning as we go. Next time you guys will be prepared. Sorry to our listeners. I have one. Mine is just that Miles can now drink from a straw, which is such a cool thing, because we started to, when he was ready to have water at 6 months, we didn't want to give him a sippy cup, and boy, that was controversial on the blog as well. But I decided not to go that route, and I can talk about why another time. But it took me a long time to teach him how to use a straw. I had to put my finger over the top of the straw when it was in the water and then release it in his mouth. But now he can suck it up himself, and I am so proud of him for being able to do that, because now we've bypassed the sippy cup and he can drink water himself, because the regular cup, he still just spills all over himself. Although he is getting better. So, yay, Miles.
Yeah, wow, Miles.
How'd it go? I actually have one. Reese is now pulling herself up and standing up on to anything she can get her hands on. She gives high fives and cool. kisses. Oh. And when you say throw your hands in the air, she puts her hands up in the air.
It's so cute.
It's
the
cute.
Standing air raising, isn't it?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And she's starting to take steps.
No.
Steps while holding on to something, but kind of just using it as a little tracker.
Is that what they call cruising?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
She's cruising.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah, it's little victories for them and little terrifying victories for us. Little terrors for us. All right, well, maybe next week, Jennifer and Natalie, you guys can ring in. I hope our listeners will ring in too. Again, write us mb@mommybeta.com or tweet us @mommybeta. Well, let's see. Right on the blog. Just comment at mommybeta.com with any of your feedbacks, questions, concerns, little victories, or anything that you have to say about what we've been talking about. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you here next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.